Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night of Max and Friends. How was your week, everyone? Let me know. I want to know. Tweet me at Max Tucci and let me know what's going on. So May 10th, 10 years that I'm here on LA Talk Radio on May 10th. So congratulations to me. If I had a button with clapping, I would totally hit that right now, but I don't know where it is. So welcome to the show tonight. If it's your first time joining us, where have you been? I'm just playing with you. Welcome to the show. Yeah, 10 years that I'm here. And we've been giving you some great shows through the years. And tonight we're going to give you another great show. I recently was watching a TV show. I believe it was called Twist of Fate. Was that it? Twist of Fate. And there was this attorney, and she was all fired up because there was this case about some child molestation, sexual abuse, and she knew the man was lying, and she just went up to him, and she was trying to get it out of him, and no. And she just knew in his eyes that he was full of shit. So she done jumped the bench, grabbed him. She's going to tell you the story tonight here on Max and Friends. My guest tonight is an amazing woman, accomplished woman. She's a law changer, an author, I call her a motivational speaker because just a motivationalist. Sherry Carney is going to join us tonight on Max and Friends. She also has a really great book. There was a movie written about her. So you're not going to want to miss tonight's show because we are going to talk about hashtags such as the hashtag Me Too, hashtag sexual abuse. So if you've been through it, welcome to the show and be a part of it. Tweet us at Max Tucci. Don't have shame in it. Just be authentic to who you are and don't blame yourself. Let's start with that at the top of the show. So and if you want to tell your story, then you could email me max@maxtucci.com because I don't want to put it on air just yet because, you know, we have to vet it, make sure your story is real and you're just not addicted to drama and want to be on the radio. But other than that, tonight's going to be a fun show in the sense that Sherry's a really amazing character. She's so cool. She's sitting across from me right now. But we're going to play some music. I'm in L.A. right now at the studio. My mom is actually in L.A. with me for the first time ever. She's never been to L.A. There's my phone. See, there's my new Samsung S-whatever-9 phone that everyone here at L.A. Talk Radio has been totally, like, shaming me for having an old Samsung. So I got this new one. I don't know how to use it. Don't know how to turn it on or off. You know, why do for yourself what others can do for you, I guess. But So where do we want to go? Let's talk for a minute. So I was in Colorado last week. We were supposed to do a show for Majaya from the ashram in Florida that I go to, Kashi. And it was Ma's anniversary the day she died. And of course, the energy that surrounds that day, the show wasn't working. We couldn't get it on. So we played a Valerie Love show because Valerie is one of my max motivators. And you know how much I love Val. And just being authentic. The show was on authenticity and being you. And it's okay to be you no matter what you've gone through or what you went through or what you're going through. Just be you. Today, actually, I woke up. Y'all know that you can follow me on Instagram at Max Tucci Radio. But my private one, which I don't even know how to let you all into it. That's why it's my private one. But it's fun because I share the same things more or less on both of them. But this morning I wrote, good morning and good karma. To spread joy, you have to have it. So create joy in your life, then spread it all over. You know, you are the creator of your reality. You are the creator of your life. You are the creator and the source. So if you want joy, you got to look inside and find your joy there. One thing that gives me huge super joy is my dear friend Ash Ruiz. Y'all know him from Menudo. He's on tour right now. I think he's in Mexico doing the 90s Latin American group tours. So he's traveling there. But he wrote a song called Most Beautiful Light. It's one of my favorite songs that we're going to play it here on Max and Friends. When we're back, Sherry's going to join me, because before we go anywhere, let's go here. I want you guys to go to her social media outlets, okay? So the book Roar as One, R-O-A-R-A-S, and the number one is on Twitter. And Sherry is on Twitter as well at Sherry, S-H-A-R-I-K-A-R-N-E-Y. So go there, also on Facebook, on LinkedIn, all over. But we'll stick to Twitter and Facebook. I gotta catch a breath because it has been quite the week. So, you know, there's a saying that I read in Town & Country magazine, when you know your house is finished is when you're broke. And I have been working on this house here in LA throughout the weeks. And I'm not broke, but I'm tired. So just bear with me, because if I say ums and ohs and whatevers, y'all know where I am in that state of mind of just being in this present moment and being alive and grateful. But right now, I'm alive and grateful for this song, Most Beautiful Light, by my buddy Ash Ruiz. And when we're back, Sherry's going to join us. Stay tuned. I don't
see, baby, you're the one.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That was my buddy, Ash Ruiz. Y'all remember him from Menudo, Most Beautiful Light. Well, I met Ash in Boulder, Colorado, and I was just there with my buddy, Eva LaRue, and we were hanging out, and she brought her daughter, Kaya. We had the best time in Colorado. I meant to tell you all that at the top of the show, but I'm just sitting here with Sherry, and we've been talking during that song and listening to it and grooving here on Max and Friends. Remember to go to Twitter, at Max Tucci, and follow me there. You can go to Instagram, Max Tucci Radio, and follow me there. And, of course, Sherry, you guys can go to Roar as One. I'm going to tweet it later so y'all don't have to worry about getting it. But also Twitter, at Sherry Carney. That's it, at Sherry Carney. So simple. So I'm going to look on my phone right now. I don't know if it's working or not. But hey, Meganella, how you doing? Thanks for tweeting us always on Max and Friends. I was supposed to shout you out last week, but obviously it was a pre-record, so I wasn't here. But anyway, so that was Ash Ruiz. Y'all can go find him everywhere. He's on Instagram. He's on Twitter. He's on Facebook. He's on tour. Love him as much as I do. And just support him because he's my buddy. So, all right. So it was a show called Twist of Fate on the Criminal Investigation Channel, I believe. CIC. And I was in Florida. And you know what? I'm going to go back to exactly when. That I do know how to do on Twitter. And I was sitting in my TV room and I was watching the television and this show came on. And it was interesting because it grabbed my attention literally because my next guest, who's going to be joining us in just a moment, was all up in it. And she's going to tell you the story. And when I say jump the bench, I mean jump the bench. So March last month, the show aired. But so she's an author. Not only is she an author, but she's also had a movie that was like a number one movie on NBC. Then we're talking about radio show. I think you really need to do a radio show. So we'll play here tonight and you see how much you love it. So welcome my guest to Max and Friends, the one and only, the iconic, law-changing author, motivational expert. I'm going to call you that because you are motivational. You motivated me to have you on my show. So welcome to Max and Friends, Sherry.
Thank you for having me, Max. It's fantastic to be here.
It's my pleasure to have you here.
You're amazing.
Thank you. You're amazing because literally you know, when you see this show, there's reenactments of you. And we'll talk about that later on. But it really was your life flashing in front of you.
It really
was. So let's go back to your childhood. Let's go back to the genesis of where you were born. Where did you come from? Why did you become a lawyer?
Well, that's a good question. Why does anybody become a lawyer, right?
Exactly.
So the genesis is my family won in 1956, Family of the Year in Culver City, California. I thought we had the most perfect family on the planet. Mm-hmm. Underneath that perfect exterior was horrors. Unimaginable horror. And I know that, for example, what happened in that household was that my mother attempted to murder me at least on two occasions. I always thought that there wasn't a God, but I think maybe God worked for the telephone company because one of the times when she had a pillow over my face and I was having problems breathing, the phone rang. And I feel like it was divine intervention.
And disrupted that pattern.
Absolutely. And this perfect family that I thought I came from. And it's funny because when you have trauma as a child, in order to survive, you forget. You pretend your parents are normal.
Right.
You
accept what you know.
You accept what you know as normal.
Yeah.
And you try to believe that these people do indeed love you.
Right.
Because the alternative is not survivable. So you basically tell yourself a story about the kind of family you come from. And after a while, you start to believe it.
Right. Well, our thoughts become our beliefs.
Right. Our thoughts
they
become
sure
our
do.
Reality. Except, you know, one of my thoughts as I got a little bit older was that someday my real parents were going to show up. Like a lot of people are worried that they're going to find out they're adopted. I hoped one day.
You were
day,
wishing.
I was praying that my real parents showed
right.
up. Because these two people weren't anything I could get my hands around surviving with. But I also believe that, you know, in some respects, we're all more beautiful than before, and that pain really changes us into something more beautiful and better. And it's not that I advocate pain, mm-hmm. but I know that our greatest gift is hidden in our greatest pain, mm-hmm. and that we are all who we are today mm-hmm. because of the events that happened to us
right.
that shaped us and formed us. Mm-hmm. And so there's an element of gratitude that I have because I would not be who I am today
right.
without what happened to me.
Right. And but everything's okay. You're here.
I am here.
You know, and that's what I tell a lot of people because, I mean, I'm here 10 years now. So we've gotten stories and people email us all the time. And really, it's like, it's okay. We're here right now. Not that I'm minimizing the past by any means, but you're in this present moment. You're alive. You're well. Let's start with right now.
And the past gave yeah. me a route to who I was and what I need to do and mm-hmm. what my life's path is mm-hmm. and what my destiny is.
Yeah,
and
but so, I want to talk about your mom because she was a therapist as well, a family therapist.
My mother went back to school and became a licensed marriage family counselor
okay.
as well as a master's of social work. So she treated people mm-hmm. who were abused and who were sexually abused and physically abused mm-hmm. and emotionally abused.
And then would come home.
And then she would come home.
So Jekyll and Hyde.
And be a monster.
Yeah. Wow.
Literally be a monster. I mean, my mother burned me with cigarettes. Mm-hmm. My mother, you know, put my head down the toilet. She tried to murder me. Mm-hmm. My mother was both a monster mm-hmm. and the only person that showed me any physical affection that wasn't sexual.
I got you.
So it's a very complicated relationship mm-hmm. when it's your parents.
And a developing mind.
Exactly. And a developing yeah. heart and right. a developing soul.
Right.
And so you've got this dichotomy mm-hmm. of this woman who you're afraid of, mm-hmm. who is horrible, mm-hmm. and the same woman who picks you up and kisses you and holds you and gives you wonderful moments in your life. Mm-hmm. And it's that craziness that both makes life so disturbing mm-hmm. and also creates genius, because when I worked on behalf of other survivors mm-hmm. of sexual abuse, and I was testifying in front of the California legislature for a bill mm-hmm. that me and my law partner had written and mm-hmm. fought for and paid for out of our own pockets. Mm. And I'm sitting in this pit where there are legislators in tall chairs in front of me, and the chair is going after me and saying, how dare you, mm-hmm. you know, not look to protect defendants' rights? Mm-hmm. How dare you talk to me this way? And what went through my mind mm-hmm. is, I survived my mother.
Right.
I can survive.
You're like, bring it on, mofo.
You bring it on.
Exactly. But now let's talk about, because growing up, there was so much trauma.
So and much trauma.
So physical, mental, and sexual.
So my mother beat me, mm-hmm. hit me, slapped me, mm-hmm. told me I was too ugly to ever attract a man, therefore I better be smart.
Okay.
That I would never be able to find love in my life because I was too unattractive. Mm. And then my father sexually abused me. Mm-hmm. And then I was raped by a close family friend. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, why didn't you tell? Well, who was I going to tell?
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because I have friends in the entertainment industry with the hashtag MeToo right now.
Yeah.
And they're like, why didn't you say anything before? They're like, we tried to say things before, but no one wanted to listen.
And listen, Max, if Gwyneth Paltrow can't say anything because she's too afraid and she doesn't mm-hmm. think anybody's going to believe her, mm-hmm. and Kate Beckinsale can't say mm-hmm. anything, and Reese Witherspoon can't say mm-hmm. anything with their platform and their money
right.
and their people around them, mm-hmm. well, really, do we expect a six-year-old child to be able to
exactly.
say something?
So how long did you repress this for?
Oh.
That you know?
Over 20 years.
Over 20 years.
Because, and if you had asked me, mm-hmm. what is your family like? Mm-hmm. I would have described my father as a writer, my mother as a therapist, and we had our problems, but we came from a loving...
You're like a Norman Rockwell family.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And my friends that I went to high school with thought my parents were the coolest people and the smartest people. Mm-hmm. And so...
Meanwhile, Joan Crawford was your mother.
Joan Crawford. Okay, let me just say this to you. Yeah. I see the movie Mommy Dearest. Mm-hmm. I read the book and I think Christina Crawford is a whining... What is she bitching about? Her mm-hmm. mother was lovely.
Right.
I see Joan Crawford as a mother I wished I had had.
Why? It was that bad?
It was horrifying.
Wow.
I thought that, you know, so Joan's mother hit her with a few hangers.
Right.
Big deal.
Right, right.
I know that sounds horrifying.
I hear you.
Yeah. It sounds horrifying. Mm-hmm. But I thought, I don't get this whole movie.
Right.
What is this child complaining about? Because your life was so worse. Because my mother didn't just hit us with a hanger. If there were two ants on the kitchen counter, mm-hmm. she would drag us out of bed at 2 a.m. by our hair. She would take everything out of the refrigerator, pickles and mayonnaise and mustard and flour and sugar, and throw everything on the floor, slam it against the cabinets, and tell us we better clean it up, and we better clean it up before school started, and we better have it where she could take a white glove and touch it across the countertop.
Mm. So what happened to your mother that she did this?
You know, I'm not exactly sure, but here's what I know. Mm-hmm. My family never does anything that's not dramatic. Mm-hmm. And on my mother sent me a letter after the movie aired mm-hmm. and everything came out. And I said, in legal terms, this must be a dying declaration. She mm-hmm. must be dying mm-hmm. because nobody sends a letter if they're not dying.
And the movie, by the way, is Shattered Trust.
Shattered Trust, the Sherry Carney story. Mm-hmm. So I open this letter and my mother says, will you ever forgive me? I'm so sorry. I was a terrible mother. I abused you. Can you ever forgive me? Can we ever have a relationship? Mm-hmm. I start crying. I think, you know, maybe I can work it out with this woman. You know, there is forgiveness. I want to have a mother. 4 hours later, I get a phone call from my sister. Mom has had a fatal heart attack. She's on life support. You can go to the hospital and see her, but I don't think she's going to be conscious. Mm-hmm. So I go to the hospital to see my mother, and I reach down. She's on life support, and mm-hmm. I reach down to kiss her, and I jump back because I think she's going to hit me. Mm-hmm. Now, this woman is on life support mm-hmm. in a coma, mm-hmm. and I still think she's going to hit me. Mm-hmm. I'm still afraid of her. Mm. How is that possible? Mm. I felt terrible.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. And especially at that moment. But you know, it is. It's because this is so ingrained in your psyche. You know?
Yes.
And what's interesting, you know, where your story really gets interesting is when you lashed out because it all bubbled up. Right?
Well, I was.
Well, let's go. Let's like break this down. I'm like, y'all are y'all still with us here?
Really?
Let's take
here?
A break of water and let's take a break for water and hit this.
And some cookies, right?
I know it's Sunday night and we're going into Monday and everyone's like, man, motherfucker, I need this at the end of my week. You do. And I promise you, here's why you do. Because, you know, everyone has a story and everyone needs to tell their story. I always say that. And I know that Sherry's story is going to inspire a lot of people out there listening. She can talk about it now, and that's where the joy is. Because if she wasn't able to, she wouldn't be in front of a mic, literally bearing her soul to a stranger, because we just met about 15 minutes ago. So there is hope for you all listening tonight here on Max and Friends. My guest is Sherry Carney. We're talking about her story, her movie, which is Shattered Trust, the Sherry Carney story. Also, Twist of Fate is the show that I saw. The book we're going to talk about. There's so much to talk about. I'm glad we still have some time. So you had this horrific childhood.
Yes.
Okay. Where did you grow up?
Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. You were saying, yeah, right here.
Yeah.
right here. And then you're growing up, you go through school, you go through high school. Were you still being beat during high school?
I wasn't being beaten during high school because, well, that's not exactly true. We were at May Company and my mother couldn't find me and she called me once. She couldn't. I was buying jewelry or something, mm-hmm. saw me and slapped me straight across the face. I was 16 years old mm-hmm. in front of 25 people. So I was always afraid of her. There's no question about mm-hmm. it. But I wasn't being routinely beaten.
Like when you were younger.
No, like when I was younger. I mean, mm-hmm. it was sort of a normal life. We looked normal. We sounded loyal.
I'm telling you, the normal rock. Here's Thanksgiving with the big turkey.
We had the Christmases.
I can imagine.
Christmases. People came. We had parties. Yeah. It was fun.
There's
everyone
a lot of families
us.
Like that.
They
a
envied
lot
us.
Lots of families are like this.
I mean, the sexual abuse happens to 1 in 3 girls, yeah. 1 in 5 boys.
Right.
Okay, and 75% of it's a family member or someone you know.
Right.
So we're talking to our listeners here. Mm-hmm. You know, 1 in 3 of them have been sexually assaulted yeah. as a child before the age of 18, and 1 in 5 if they're boys.
Staggering. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
And, you know, as we've been talking for 98 seconds, mm-hmm. a person has been sexually assaulted in America just now.
Yeah.
just a second.
Mm-hmm. Every 98 seconds.
Every 98 seconds, mm-hmm. an American is sexually assaulted.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't even go global.
That's not even global. Right. We don't even want to go global.
No, the numbers
are
staggering.
I have those numbers, but I don't want people to, like, you know, have the worst work week of their life.
Here's to a shitty Sunday.
I heard this woman on the radio, you know, I'm going to drive my car off the cliff.
Right, okay. Exactly. No, don't do that. No. Stay with us
Stay
because
with
we're
going to
talk
hope.
About hope. There always is.
There is hope.
You know, and it's just the moment. The present moment is here.
And it's your voice. I'm here to let you know you can speak out too. We need to speak together.
Yeah.
We're
well, together
all
we
in
rise.
This together. Yes.
I always say that.
Together we rise.
So you're now in high school. Did you want to like get the hell out of California?
No. I
really?
Didn't want to get anywhere. I mean, I didn't think anyone would love me. I was mm-hmm. told the only people that would ever love me mm-hmm. was my family.
Okay.
And this is the people, like people would say, weren't you afraid of people?
It's an unbelievable manipulation.
Oh my, because it's complicated.
Yeah.
You know, these are the people that feed you and
of course.
Comfort
but
you.
But you know, when we, like, because we do a lot of shows here where we talk about patterns and pathology. You know, and I'm sure, you know, we'll never have the answer because your mom has passed, but there was something there.
I'm sure she was abused
as
a child.
You know, we do what we're taught.
I'm sure she was badly abused as a child. I'm pretty sure my grandfather sexually abused her and physically abused her.
It would be pretty accurate
to say. People don't just become this way.
No.
They don't.
No, it's a pattern in pathology.
It is, and if you don't get help, you can become a perpetrator yourself or victims for your whole life. So this is how I uncovered my own story. Mm-hmm. I would have told you I came from a good family. Mm-hmm. I was doing aviation law, representing clients
well,
that were all dead.
Well, before we get to law and going to college, so what drove you to actually go to school, like college?
My mother told me I was too stupid. Mm-hmm. I was too ugly, that I needed an education. Mm-hmm. No one would take care of me.
Okay.
And it was expected of me. Mm-hmm. So I always had good grades. Mm-hmm. I went to college. I loved UCLA undergraduate. Mm-hmm. I was Phi Beta Kappa, summa cum laude, went to law school. Because at the time, I was going to become a therapist. Mm-hmm. But during the political movement that I grew up in, no one was calling for therapists. They were calling for lawyers.
Right.
When people went to jail, when rights were being taken away, nobody said, please get me a therapist.
Get me a lawyer.
Get me a lawyer.
They still do.
They still do. That's right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You need a therapist and a lawyer. But so that motivated me to go to law school. And I always wanted to change the world. I didn't know what I wanted to change, but I was one of those lawyers that wanted to make a difference. I did. Mm-hmm. I was always searching for where I fit.
Mm.
I was always searching for what is the
validation.
Purpose of my life?
Right.
What am I meant to do? Mm-hmm. Who am I and why am I here? Mm-hmm. Was I just here to get my ass kicked by my family? Mm-hmm. Or is there something in what happened to me that could make me someone that had a purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't find it for a long time because I had no memory of what happened to me.
Right. So now you're in law school. You're studying aviation law, dealing with airplane crashes. Lucrative.
Crazy. It wasn't even lucrative. I was the
Not
only
even?
Woman at the law firm.
Okay.
And I was the only non-pilot.
Well, how often do planes crash? That's a whole
other
thing.
Well, at the time, quite a bit.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the DC-10s really had a lot of design defects.
Okay.
You know, O'Hara and San Diego, engines were falling off.
Wow.
You know, and then there's helicopters. And Cessnas and a lot actually.
Okay.
And what do I know? I mean, I'm not an engineer. I'm not a scientist.
Right.
My mathematical skills are terrible. I do know justice.
Yeah.
And all my clients were deceased,
yeah.
So nobody was mean to me.
Right.
And no one gave me trouble.
Right.
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 And so one day, a social worker comes into my office. I was moonlighting at a rape counseling center.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know why I was there, but I.
Were you drawn to it?
I was drawn to it.
Okay.
I was definitely drawn to it.
Now, at this point, did you remember being sexually abused?
No.
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 So that was that deep repressed.
I had a therapist who said to me, you're so drawn and emotional about rape cases.
Mm-hmm.
Did anything ever happen to you?
Mm.
Oh, no.
Mm.
I had a good family.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sure I would remember. My mother was abusive, but no.
Mm.
So I really did not remember. And this is why...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not unusual. The younger the child is, the more repression. So social worker comes into my office, mm-hmm. says I have a case of a 3-year-old child
mm-hmm.
who's been sexually abused for a year and a half on visitation with her father.
Mm-hmm.
Parents were already divorced.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want it, Max. I didn't
Why?
Want... it felt sordid. It felt heavy. It felt like
it had that energy.
You know, I didn't really want to get involved. It wasn't my specialty. I just didn't. It's not something everybody wants to talk about. It's painful.
Oh, yeah.
It's on the dark side. And so I said, look, I don't really practice in this area. I'm so sorry I can't help you. And she said, what is it with you women lawyers? You don't want to get involved. You're my third lawyer. None of you want to help this child. I am so disappointed in all of you. I am so
disappointed.
And I mean, I felt terrible.
Right, I could imagine.
I felt terrible.
So what'd you do?
So I said, I'm not promising you anything, but let me just meet the child. Let me just meet her. I'll meet her, and then
so
maybe I can help you find someone.
At first, though, you refused the case?
I did refuse the case.
Wow.
I didn't want it. I wasn't a specialist in it. And I wanted to stay safe.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to stay in my cocoon of where I lived safely,
mm-hmm.
which was...
comfort zone.
Right. And, you know, I always wore clothes that were too big for me.
Mm-hmm.
I always no makeup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in hiding.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to visit the child at McLaren Hall. It was a 3-year-old baby.
What was the case?
It was a child custody case.
Mm-hmm.
The child's name I call Katie because...
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I walked in. She's in baby jail. It's McLaren Hall. The place is horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And she's rocking and holding a teddy bear and crying. And I pick her up to hold her, and I say, it's going to be okay. I'm going to be here for you, and I'm not going to let this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talked to the guard that was on duty, and I said, you know, why do you have this child in a room with older children, and it's like a jail, and mm-hmm. you have her, she was like locked to the bed, like, not chained to the bed, but like almost handcuffed to the bed.
Right.
And she's a 3-year-old.
Protection, quote unquote, right?
Well, they thought she was going to climb down or something.
This is our system.
And it is our system.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, so he said, look, at you know, you want to talk to a supervisor. Here's my card. Go call whoever you want to call, but get out of here. We're closing down. He could care less.
Right.
I'm a lawyer.
Right.
Threats. No, he didn't care.
No.
So I called the social worker the next day and I said, let's make a deal.
Mm-hmm.
You get her out of baby jail.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take the case.
So if you never went to the baby jail, do you think you would have done the case?
No, I would have done the case.
Wow.
I don't think so.
All right, and then this is where it starts getting interesting, right? Because now this is where we're going to throw to, and then we're going to come right back to Sherry goes to jail.
I know, it's not really funny at all.
It's not.
It's horrifying.
But it's what, you know, and I remember that scene in Twist of Fate when you are like, when the reenactment of you with this child, and I'm like, what's going to happen next? And they went to commercial. So we're going to play a song here on Max and Friend because you're going to find out right now. I didn't know my own strength by Whitney Houston.
Touch with my soul. I had nowhere to turn. I had nowhere to go. Lost sight of my dream. Thought it would be the end of me. I thought I'd never make it through. I had no hope to hold on to. I thought I might break. Your love was not built to break. No, no, I got to know. I got to know my own strength.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That was Whitney Houston, I Didn't Know My Own Strength. I hope that song gave you some strength right there and to realize that you do have the strength. It's within you. Remember that you are the creator and the source of your reality. So the strength, you don't have to look for it. It's already inside of you. If you're joining me for the first time, welcome to the show. You can tweet me at Max Tucci. My guest tonight, Sherry Carney. Right before we went to that song, we were talking about how this little girl was on a case, rape case, the father, alleged father at the time. And then we left everyone with Sherry goes to jail. So now the scene is you're cross-examining the father of this three-year-old girl.
Yes.
And you know that this mother is just a liar.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So bring us, to, like, let's go back to that scene.
So I was cross-examining the father, and mm-hmm. I asked him if he had ever touched his daughter's genitals. Mm-hmm. And he said, what do you mean by the word touch? And I was getting madder and madder. T-O-U-C-H, touch. Does anybody have a Webster's Dictionary? And I'm pacing around. The judge says, if you don't calm down, Miss Carney, I'm going to cite you for contempt of court. And I said, big deal, cite me for contempt of court. You never talk to a judge that way. Never.
And so contempt of court, what would that mean for your career?
Well, contempt of court can mean a couple things. First of all, it means a fine. Mm-hmm. Second of all, it can be jail time.
Okay.
And they can put you in jail for contempt of court indefinitely. Don't need a trial. You don't need a jury.
Okay.
You're in contempt of court. You can sit and rot for 2 years.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And you were willing to do this?
I was out of my mind, apparently. Okay. And while this is going on, I hear the sound of a typewriter going off. And I keep saying, is someone typing? And he said, the court reporter's typing, but it's not a typewriter. And I kept hearing typing sounds. Mm-hmm. Now, my father's a writer.
Okay.
But none of that hooked up for me.
Okay.
So I'm cross-examining this guy. He's shooting his cuffs, winking, very good-looking, you know.
Sleazy.
Not really sleazy.
No.
He doesn't look sleazy. He looks slick.
Aha, big difference.
Very different. Yeah. Sleazy would have helped us.
Right.
Slick did not. He's winking.
Yeah.
Right, and he's charming, and he's all Mr. Fraternity Brother, sports guy, looking like an upstanding American dad with this crazy woman lawyer in front of
him. And you're going after him.
And I am going after him.
And you're hearing a typewriter.
And I'm hearing a typewriter. So I said to him, touch with your hands, touch with your penis, touch. You don't know what the word touch means? Did you graduate college?
Mm-hmm.
Have you gone to high school?
And what is the judge saying?
He's pounding his gavel and telling me to calm down, and I'm ignoring him.
Because you're getting to the point.
Because I'm getting to the point. And then he said, yes, I did touch her.
Oh.
And, you know, and I said, was it 20 times, 200 times, 200,000 times? Mm-hmm. I'm standing in front of him. You're not supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to stand behind a bench. I'm in
you're
his
on
face.
Fire.
I am on fire. I don't care what happens.
You're on
I
fire.
I am had it with this guy, and I don't even know why I've had it with this guy, but I can't take it. So he finally says, and the judge is doing his gavel, you know, you can ask him a question, but you can't say 2 million times. And I said, how many times? And he said, oh, maybe 20 times.
So you had him totally confess.
And I said, well,
was he denying this, though?
Well, here's what he said. I said, and for what possible reason do you have to touch your daughter's genitals 20 times?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, her mother dresses her in underwear that's too tight, and I have to medicate her. And as
medicate
soon as he
her.
Said medicate her, I reached across the witness stand, jumped, and lunged at him and tried to strangle him. Now, I have to say
wait,
this,
I
Max.
Just love how you just say it so like, and then I had to lunge
I had to kill the mother.
Fucker.
Right.
What?
And
what is the courtroom scene
they're
now?
They're going crazy. The bailiff is jumping after me. The
so
judge
do you
is
physically
banging
have
his
your
gavel.
Hands around his neck.
I do. And I, you know what? Here's what really ticks me off. He's a whiner. I mean, I didn't hurt him enough. I mean, I wish I had Whitney Houston. You know, I don't know my strength, right? Because, I mean,
I subconsciously you knew your strength.
I guess so, because I went to strangle him. Mm. I didn't leap across the witness stand. Mm. I was standing for him, and I reached over.
Okay.
And he had a pretty thick neck, so I tried to throttle him. He's a big guy. Uh-huh. And the bailiff throws me to the ground, handcuffs me. The judge cites me for contempt. He said, "Get her out of here." And this case is, indefinitely suspended at this point. We're going to be trailing, he said, because this is
what does all that mean? Behavior.
It means they're not going to finish the litigation of this case because I've just thrown a bomb in the middle of the courtroom and ruined everybody's rights, basically. And he says to the mother, I hear later that he tells the mother to find another attorney, and she says, "Hell no, I love this woman."
I could imagine.
Yeah, except I go to jail.
For how long?
2 nights.
Okay. But now, did you make a deal?
Well, the judge ordered me back to his chambers, and he says you have 3 choices.
Okay.
You can go to jail indefinitely for contempt of court.
2 years.
Indefinitely.
Indefinitely.
Right.
For how long?
I don't even know how long, but
wow.
It was longer than I wanted.
Okay.
2 nights was bad enough.
All right.
I can start disbarment proceedings for the bar to pull your license right. for this kind of behavior, or you can go to court-ordered therapy. I didn't think I needed court-ordered therapy, but I took therapy.
Well.
And then he made me come back the next day, and he said, "I want a letter of apology to the perpetrator that you hurt, the alleged perpetrator, and I want it to be sincere, and if it's not sincere, you're going back to jail."
And what's happening with his child the whole time?
She's back at McLaren Hall, and the reason she's at McLaren Hall is because as soon as the mother said that he was sexually abusing, the father blames the mother's boyfriend. So the social services doesn't know what to do, so they take
the
kid away from everybody to protect the child.
So now, when you're in jail for these 2 nights, what's going through your mind? And do you still hear this typewriter?
What's going through my mind is that I have lost my mind. I'm crying hysterically. I'm in trauma. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on. I feel like I've ruined my career. Mm-hmm. And I'm confused. I don't really know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I think I have a dream when I'm in jail of something happening to me. But then I wake up and I'm not sure if it's real or not. Mm-hmm. I still don't really know.
Mm-hmm. And then you go to therapy.
And then I go to therapy.
And what happens in therapy?
And in therapy, this therapist, and this is the therapist the judge knows, and that she's just like he is, you know, like ironclad and giving me shit, and, you know, and finally, she has me write a letter to my mother by saying to my mother that she stood by and didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And in this letter to my mother, the last line says, "And Mom, I'm very upset with you for letting Dad incest me and sexually abuse me and not do anything about it." And when I read that letter, I could not believe I wrote it.
Mm. Did you get flashbacks?
I was having flashbacks during sex, but I didn't know what they were.
Okay.
I didn't understand what it
was.
You know, you think something's going on. I'm going through what I now know vets go through,
okay,
which is post-traumatic stress disorder, but I didn't understand it. I just thought I was messed up.
Yeah.
I just thought something was really wrong, but I didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process of therapy, I uncovered my own sexual assault and sexual abuse and rape.
Wow.
And I had no memory.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, Max, I started to say, I've got to do something about this. There's millions of American women and men like me that don't remember. And I thought, well, what does the law allow?
Mm-hmm.
And the law statute of limitations ran at the time in California when you were 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I was already 29 when I remembered. And that was the average age.
So now you devote your career to...
Well, I'm in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I tell the judge recommends to the mother that I not represent this child.
Mm-hmm.
The mother says she's not going to hire another lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
I finish the trial, and I have gotten ordered into therapy. The child gets ordered into therapy. The mother gets ordered into therapy. And the perpetrator gets suspended visitation for 6 months.
That's all.
And then full visitation, unsupervised, from now until forever.
I want to hear so much about that story. We're going to do like an after show. So we have like a couple minutes left, so we got to finish your story.
Okay.
But let's just break down what happened to the little girl's father in the end.
Nothing.
No. That's the system.
Nothing.
The little girl's put in jail, basically,
right?
In that hospital.
Right.
And the father gets to have...
Right. And I go to jail.
Right. And
now
you're pissed.
And I get ordered into therapy.
Right. And now you're pissed.
No, I'm really pissed. If I wasn't pissed before, now I'm lividosity.
I could imagine.
And that anger is the fire in my belly to say, we have got to get justice for survivors of incest, sexual assault, sexual harassment, child sexual abuse, rape. Mm-hmm. We have got to have a legal system that works mm-hmm. for people like me because nobody helped me.
Mm.
And I don't want to be that person who has this sexual abuse happen to them for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I need to do something with it. Mm-hmm. I'm like the kids, you know, at Parkland High School.
Mm-hmm.
They were shot at. They mm-hmm. felt the only way to make this right
is
was
to rise up.
Rise up mm-hmm. and do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I decided to do. That's what I've devoted my career to doing.
And then you've changed laws. And, you know, it's interesting you say Parkland because people are saying, oh, they're not going to change the laws. How difficult is it actually to change laws?
Really hard.
It is.
It's really
Are they
hard.
On the right path?
Oh, my God, they're on the right path. They're mm-hmm. going to get it done.
And now for you, let's talk about the law that you changed.
Okay, so me and my law partner drafted legislation that extended the statute of limitations mm-hmm. for civil lawsuits for victims of child sexual abuse
mm-hmm.
from that age of 21 mm-hmm. to the age of 26. And if you don't remember by the time you're 26, you have 3 years from the date you realize you have psychological damages mm-hmm. to sue your perpetrator.
Mm-hmm.
This was unheard of across the United States. Mm. So it extended the statute. It gave victims like me and mm. everyone else rights.
Mm.
And then I went on to change two more laws. But this law was landmark.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Max, in retrospect, I don't feel I've done enough yet. Mm. I don't feel like...
What would be enough?
Enough would be... a civil rights legislation, mm-hmm. a constitutional right to have body safety,
mm-hmm.
to be free, a right to be free from sexual assault, sexual harassment, mm-hmm. sexual misconduct and rape, a constitutional right that is recognized that you have a right to not be touched when mm-hmm. you don't want to be.
Period. Why does it sound so simple, though?
Because no one else has thought of this.
Because there's a bunch of men in office, too.
I don't know why people haven't thought of it.
If there were more women in office, don't you think things would change quicker?
I think it would be so much faster. But this idea is very simple. We have a right to body safety. We have a right to our own body.
Right.
We have a right not to be shot at. We have a right not to be raped.
Mm-hmm.
We have a right not to be sexually harassed.
Mm-hmm.
We have a right not to be sexually abused.
Mm-hmm.
We should have that right as a human being.
Right.
And
we all say our bodies are temple, right?
Our bodies
are
temple.
But then we want to fight about it, and people, they go
no
dormant.
But there's no laws to really protect
our
bodies.
Are there enough people to rise up and say it, though?
Well, listeners, rise up and say it with me and Max.
Mm-hmm.
Come join us.
Mm-hmm.
I've started a nonprofit called Roar, like a lion roar
mm-hmm.
as one.
Mm-hmm.
And we need funding. We need lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
We need anybody that wants to help us to come forward and help. This is going to be a big deal.
It's a big deal. It's not going to be. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Now, do you think that there's hope on the horizon, like change on the horizon, or do you think this is going to be a drawn-out situation?
Change is a coming.
Mm-hmm.
Change is on the horizon.
Not as fast as you want it, though.
Not as fast as I want it.
So how can we get it to happen quickly?
We need lawyers to help us draft legislation.
Mm-hmm.
We need survivors willing to sue as part of a test case against the government.
Mm-hmm.
We need a constitutional amendment interpretation
mm-hmm.
of a right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should have the right. And it's not spelled out in the Constitution. But if you are sexually assaulted,
mm-hmm.
sexually abused, sexually harassed,
mm-hmm.
that is going to deprive you of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness
mm-hmm.
for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. And joy and bliss and authenticity
joy
and smiles.
And sexuality
right.
and enjoying
sex.
And
yeah.
being a partner that's sexually fun
mm-hmm.
and alive and engaged
mm-hmm.
and not a partner who is fearful and having flashbacks and don't touch me here and don't do that
mm-hmm.
and you don't want that. And
mm-hmm.
honestly, sexual abuse happens to boys 1 in 5.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Campus sexual assault happens to men.
Mm-hmm.
16% of the men will graduate being sexually assaulted on campus.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. We need to rise up.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have a civil rights movement
mm-hmm.
to recognize that sexual assault,
mm-hmm.
sexual abuse is a civil right. We have the right to our bodies to not be abused.
Absolutely. Do you think the hashtag MeToo kind of started a national movement?
It did start a national movement.
And why did it fizzle?
It didn't fizzle, but the question is, what now?
Okay.
They started people on the streets.
Right.
We have the mm-hmm. what now.
Okay.
Okay, this happened to you. What now?
Right.
Were the Parkland students saying, mm-hmm. we've got to get these laws changed. Gotcha. And not state by state by state by right. state. It'll take 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm. But you changed California.
I did.
You did.
I did. And you I did. Changed it more than once. Right? And I worked with 40 states to help them change their law. But look at, we've got Roy Moore, where he's mm-hmm. picking up 14-year-old girls. Mm-hmm. We've got the President of the United States mm-hmm. saying, you know, I'm famous. I'm rich. I can grab any mm-hmm. pussy I want. Mm-hmm. We've got people doing it saying, so what? Mm-hmm. And we need to be what now? Mm-hmm. We need the people that say, hey, enough. Mm-hmm. Enough. We have a right to grow up. And one thing mm-hmm. I do want to say is the person who's the wind beneath my wings, who gives me the fire every day mm-hmm. to get out of bed, is my wonderful husband, Leonard Ludovico. I'm telling you, without this man in my life, I can't do this work mm-hmm. because I need
And you found
love.
Love.
I did find
But that's
love.
What the beauty is. You know, we're going to have to wrap this up. Y'all give me like 3 more minutes, I promise. I see the time, I know. You're going to have to come back and join
okay,
me
Okay, I would love to.
Because I was going
to
ask you, where are, because people who have gone through this, you know, and here you are with the fire and you're like, you're the life, you know, you've got it. You're doing it, you're changing things, you've got the fire in your belly to make the change. You know, you are the change that you want to see.
You're
so
right.
There's the hope out there that if you've been through this, look where you are now.
Absolutely. And every person who's been through this, mm-hmm. they can make sense of what happened to them by helping someone else. Mm-hmm. Join us.
Mm-hmm.
Email us, text us, Twitter, Facebook, join us.
And how do we've told everyone how to find you. We'll, and we'll tweet
and
it after the
organization
show.
Is ROAR, R-O-A-R, AS, A-S, 1, O-N-E.
And you have a book too?
I have a book. Mm-hmm. And the book was called Pray No Longer is my first book. Mm-hmm. Then my memoir is called The Girl Behind the Curtain, mm-hmm. One Woman Breaks Silence.
All right. You're coming back to Max and Friends. Promise me.
I love you, Max.
All right.
Thank
I adore you.
For having
I'm
me.
So glad you're here. Before we go, what do you want people to take with them into this week?
I want them to take with them this week that they have to be part of the change. Mm-hmm. That in order for this to be better for all survivors, mm-hmm. anyone who loves a survivor, mm-hmm. a parent of a survivor, mm-hmm. a spouse, a lover, a partner, mm-hmm. anyone who is involved with someone who's been sexually harassed, sexually assaulted, sexually abused, come step up and join us. Mm-hmm. We need a constitutional right.
Mm.
We need civil rights for survivors.
There you go. It's black and white.
It right? is black you, and white.
It sounds simple, and I have a feeling with you it can be simple. So y'all reach out to my guest tonight, Sherry Carney. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
I'm going to leave you all with this. The simplicity of together we rise. Together we rise. I'm your host, Max Tucci for Max and Friends. I have to say on to you, good night and good karma, and take life to the max. But right now, ROAR from Katy Perry.